I approached, they turned to me, smiling. I spoke, my voice clear and firm. Thank you, friends, for inviting me to join your venture. It is an unexpected honor. I opened my saddlebags. I must decline your offer. My place is here with my loved ones. I have brought each of you a gift. Consider it a token of thanks for your confidence and trust in me. I handed every member of the party a dagger, carved by my own hand from a hydra's tooth, encased in a leather sheath. The engravings on each bone-white hilt glowed in the light of dawn. As I moved among them, I could see that several of the adventurers wore brand new sets of hydra-scale armor, and their bows were set with familiar bowstrings. I smiled. I wish you every success. Farewell, and good luck. The group was silent as I drew my sword, gave them a salute, then turned eyeless toward home. I arrived just as the sun crested the horizon, bathing the world in radiant light. I brushed Eyeless, then left him to enjoy an extra helping of feed and an apple. My family was still asleep, the house quiet and peaceful. I took off my armor and placed it carefully into the wooden chest. I set my sword on top of the breastplate, then closed the lid. With a clear mind and a light spirit, I locked the chest. The sun was rising, and it was time to make breakfast. Afterward, a call to arms. A battle with a Hydra is a battle with the most profound terror of human existence. The ambiguous, complex, uncertain, infinitely variable future. Before you engage, you won't know the outcome of the struggle. You may win the day easily, with barely a scratch. You may prevail, after much effort and after earning a few battle scars. You may fall, never to rise again. There may be treasure in the back of the cave, enough to live on in splendor for the rest of your days. There may be nothing. You may win glory and renown, or be considered a fool, worse off than you were before. This is the essence of life. The outcome of your actions and decisions is unknown and unknowable. What separates the adventurer from the bulk of humanity is the willingness to fight in spite of the risks, to meet the enemy on the field of valor, trusting in skill, instinct, and determination to see them through to a good end. There are no certainties and no guarantees. The hero fights anyway. So rise, noble adventurer. Take up your sword and torch. Explore the wild, unknown corners of the world. Find hidden treasures and challenge the monstrosities that guard them. The world needs you. And as you approach the Hydra, summoning every ounce of your strength, courage, and fortitude, remember one thing. The moment you lock eyes with the beast, steel your mind, and stand your ground, you earn yourself a place among the heroes of legend, who are honored, first and foremost, for overcoming their own fears. Fight well, brave soul. I wish you good fortune and every success. Author's Commentary. This book began as a stray thought. I was elbows deep in a research-based book on productivity methods. Productivity is a perennial nonfiction topic for a reason. If a few simple recommendations can save hours of wasted effort, banish procrastination, and reduce stress, readers are all ears. Unfortunately, I couldn't get to the core of the problem. Problems like procrastination and anxiety are universal, but permanent solutions are elusive. As I toiled over several drafts throughout the course of a year, I came to an unsettling conclusion. It is not possible to solve these problems at the root level. They can't be avoided or made irrelevant by yet another task tracking method, fancy notebook, software application, habit, or routine. No matter how much we desire certainty, predictability, and guaranteed results, the nature of human existence is fundamentally opposed to any attempt to control what will happen next. We live in an uncertain, complex, ambiguous, and changing world, with shifting demands, unexpected, often unwelcome developments, and variable rewards. There is no crystal ball to show you the most direct path to victory, and no method of divination to guarantee you'll avoid making costly mistakes. People strive to make their world comprehensible, predictable, and rewarding, but their locus of control extends only so far. No matter who you are, what you do, or the resources you have at your disposal, you have to learn to live with uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, and fear of the unknown. That's the cause of our discontent. We want to be assured of the outcome before we invest. We want to know what's going to happen before it happens so we can enjoy the good and avoid the bad. We want the maximum rewards for a minimum of effort and cost, and we want the path forward to be clear and unobstructed, free of pitfalls and branching paths. We want the world to bend to our wishes, but the world is under no obligation to give us what we want. This is not a comforting line of thought, and insights that make us feel uncomfortable are often difficult to assimilate into our daily lives. We need to consider these factors from a distance, out of the corner of our eye, before we can see how to use them to our benefit. Fortunately, language gives us a tool custom-built for this purpose. Metaphor. In Metaphors We Live By, George Lakoff and Mark Johnson argue that metaphor is at the core of language and perception, both of which profoundly influence our thoughts and actions. The metaphors we use determine how we understand and relate to everything we experience in our daily lives. Consider Lakoff and Johnson's most vivid example. If argument is war, that metaphorical framework sets the terms and tone of every step of each subsequent interaction. If argument is a dance, future conversations will look very different. There's ample precedent in using metaphor to talk about speculative projects in creative and business endeavors. The best modern example is The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. Pressfield personifies the fear, anxiety, uncertainty, reluctance, and existential dread that accompanies any act of creation as the resistance, a malevolent force of nature that has a personal interest in your failure, embarrassment, and permanent disgrace. Here's how he describes it, and I quote, "Resistance is not a peripheral opponent. Resistance arises from within. It is self-generated and self-perpetuated. Resistance is like the alien or the Terminator or the shark in Jaws. It cannot be reasoned with. It understands nothing but power. It is an engine of destruction programmed from the factory with one object only, to prevent us from doing our work. Resistance aims to kill. Its target is the epicenter of our being. Our genius, our soul, the unique and priceless gift we were put on earth to give and that no one else has but us. Resistance means business. When we fight it, we are in a war to the death." End quote. This metaphor is useful. It has helped hundreds of thousands of creative people around the world face their fears, summon their courage, and sit down to do their work. As I sat mulling over my work in progress shortly after rereading The War of Art, I had a thought. What if I start thinking about ambitious, uncertain, speculative projects as some sort of entity, not as an abstract challenge? What kind of being is frightening, overwhelming, and inherently complex? Something that any right-minded person would try to avoid. I have a deep love of epic fantasy stories, developed over decades of reading sword and sorcery novels, exploring virtual catacombs in video games like Warcraft and Diablo, and playing tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons and Dragons with my family and friends. The appropriate monster was obvious, the Lernaean Hydra, best known for serving as the second trial of Hercules in Greek mythology. I began exploring the Hydra as a metaphor for complex projects with unknown and variable outcomes. The thought experiment worked. The metaphor helped me re-examine some of the most difficult challenges involved in acts of creation and investment, and I started taking notes. The metaphor projects are hydras is a useful way to change the way you think about complex projects and the fundamental nature of every form of creative or speculative work. Ambitious projects require that you handle competing demands, which are constantly changing in unpredictable ways. Immediate victory is not possible. Completing the project requires substantial risk and sustained effort. You know it's going to be difficult before you begin, and you prepare accordingly. You can't be sure of the outcome until you invest your time and effort, and there is no guaranteed return on your investment. So the best general strategy is to focus on completing one critical task at a time. Experienced Hydra Slayers balance the risks against the potential rewards, commit to the challenge even though the outcome is unknown, and focus their attention and effort on what they can control. Courage, valor, fortitude, and persistence are necessary for success. Instead of being paralyzed by fear and doubt, they develop their skills and abilities, apply them to the task at hand, and commit themselves to the work until it is complete. That's how professionals in every field of endeavor work. They operate in the same environment of variability, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity as seasoned adventurers. Everything you want to accomplish in life will require you to grapple with the unknown, unsure of the outcomes of your actions and decisions. Knowing this in advance makes it easier to keep going when the going gets tough. In addition, life sometimes forces you to fight battles you didn't ask for. A severe health condition, a natural disaster, the end of a significant relationship, sustained financial hardship, or helping a loved one in crisis. How do you keep fighting when you find yourself trapped in the back of a cave, with a hydra standing between you and the light beyond? These matters strike at the core of what it means to be a human being in a complex, ambiguous world, a yearning for growth and progress, but no guarantee you'll be able to attain it. That's why I decided to explore the topic from the point of view of an experienced adventurer. How would they approach such an overwhelming challenge? How would they handle the fear and anxiety inherent in the task? How would they avoid making preventable mistakes? And what would they learn to value through hard-won experience? This book is the result of that exploration. The adventurer's advice has roots in a wide variety of fields: behavioral psychology, project management, military doctrine, martial arts, systems theory, and several branches of world philosophy. How to Fight a Hydra summarizes many of the core ideas from each of these fields. The fictional context allowed me to explore many different applications of these ideas and use more evocative language and examples. I hope you found the result interesting and useful. May fortune smile upon your efforts. Happy adventuring. Preparing for your adventure. Keep in mind the following as you prepare to set forth on your own adventures. Number 1. Uncertainty, complexity, variability, and ambiguity are unavoidable parts of adventuring. you will not be able to guarantee victory in advance. You have to decide on a course of action, prepare as best you can, move forward, and hope for the best. Number two, some people will support your desire to adventure and others will not. Do not let their doubts and concerns dissuade you if you've decided the experience, benefits, and potential rewards are worth the risks. Number three, every adventurer feels afraid and has doubts about their ability. That's normal, not a sign of weakness or cowardice. Number four, every adventure requires a certain amount of exploration. You will spend time lost in the wilderness, uncertain about which way to go. You can't eliminate it. Exploration is an unavoidable part of adventuring. Number five, the struggle will always take longer and feel more difficult than you expect. Knowing it's going to be difficult makes it easier to keep going. Number six, stories are embellished to make the telling more interesting. They contain only the highlights and omit extended periods of trepidation, anxiety, and toil. Take heart. Every hero struggles with the same difficulties. Number seven, the path to victory. Keep moving toward your objective, undeterred by hardship. Number eight, sharpening your abilities and learning new skills are excellent uses of your time and energy. Number nine, take care of your health. Perseverance depends on your physical, mental, and emotional fortitude. Number 10, experiment with different approaches until you find something that works. Number 11, pay attention to your environment and look for opportunities to put yourself in advantageous circumstances. Number 12, confidence is a potent ally. Trust your experience, insight, and intuition. Beware the dangers of inattention, impatience, and hubris. Number 13. Often, the reward at the end of the journey is not what you expect. Be open to the possibility of finding treasure in unexpected places and in uncommon forms. And number 14. Weigh each new opportunity against your current objective, then decide what to do based on what you value most. Annotated bibliography. If you enjoyed How to Fight a Hydra and would like to explore these ideas in more detail, here are a few books you'll find useful. Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius was the emperor of Rome from 161 to 180 CE. Meditations was not intended for publication. It was a personal journal of his day-to-day observations, thoughts, and difficulties. Meditations makes it clear that no one is immune to uncertainty, complexity, ambiguity, variability, anxiety, and fear of the unknown. Even the most powerful person in the world struggles with these concerns on a daily basis. The best you can do is act when action is called for, influence what you can, and let go of the things you cannot influence or control. Aurelius's reminders to himself inspired this book's tone and style. I recommend the Gregory Hayes translation, which is clear and easy to read. The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. The War of Art is a meditation on the inherent difficulty of creative projects and the resistance you'll face when you sit down to do your work. Stephen Pressfield, a former soldier, urges you to fight your doubts and inner demons every day. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Dr. Susan Jeffers. In this popular text from the late 1980s, Dr. Susan Jeffers argues that our primary fear is of the unknown, and our primary concern is that we won't be able to handle the things that happen to us. Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway argues that belief in your ability to handle whatever life throws at you is critical to your well-being and success, and that this belief can be learned and reinforced. The Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. Miyamoto Musashi was a renowned Japanese swordsman. The Book of Five Rings, his treatise on the philosophy and nature of sword fighting, was written sometime around 1645. Many of the adventurer's insights on the nature of battle are directly inspired by Musashi. Focus all of your attention and effort on cutting the enemy. Do not waste time on doubt, anxiety, or unnecessary flourishes. Understand the enemy to defeat them. Pay attention to the environment and use it to your advantage. And practice and prepare for future challenges with a calm and tranquil focus. Certain to Win by Chet Richards. Certain to Win is a summary of the strategy work of John Boyd, a United States Air Force fighter pilot who was instrumental in establishing the doctrine of maneuver warfare currently used by military forces around the world. Boyd's primary insight relies on the inherent uncertainty, complexity, variability, and ambiguity of combat. If you learn to observe your opponent, environment, and the results of your actions, then reorient yourself to the present circumstances faster than the enemy, you have a decisive advantage. This observe, orient, decide, act, or OODA loop is what allows smaller, more agile forces to defeat larger and more formidable adversaries. Much of the adventurer's focus on paying attention to the environment, choosing advantageous circumstances to engage the enemy, and experimenting with new approaches to achieve critical objectives is inspired by Boyd. If you're interested in business or military history, you'll find this book particularly interesting. The Bhagavad Gita, translated by Stephen Mitchell. The Song of the Blessed One is an ancient epic poem, written in Sanskrit sometime between the 5th and 2nd century BCE in what is now India. The story takes place on a battlefield. Arjuna, a warrior, is talking with Krishna, his charioteer. Arjuna does not want to fight, even though it is his duty. Krishna reveals himself as a deity and teaches Arjuna about the nature of existence and his place in the cosmos. Among other things, the Bhagavad Gita explores the themes of heroism, duty, and reward. Do your duty, even when it is difficult. You are entitled to your actions, but not the results of your actions. Act, and let go of concern for the things you cannot control. Stephen Mitchell's translation is beautiful, less literal than many others, in favor of preserving the verse. Metaphors We Live by George Lakoff and Mark Johnson. How you think about your situation matters. In Metaphors We Live By, George Lakoff and Mark Johnson argue that the implicit and explicit metaphors we use to think about day-to-day situations have an enormous effect on how we approach the world. Exploring different metaphors can highlight potential errors or biases and produce useful approaches and insights. Acknowledgements. I have had the great fortune of sharing this adventure with a group of renowned heroes, each legendary in generosity and skill. David Moldauer, Gentleman Rogue, whose insight and keen perception helped this venture take shape and form. Lisa Demona, wise and noble diplomat, whose long-standing counsel and support has made all the difference. Nora Long, Oracle of Visions, who saw in early versions of this work the beginnings of a tale beyond my wildest imaginings, then pointed the way. Carl Rosen, learned sage, whose skill in the arts of bibliomancy brought illumination and clarity to the darkest and most confusing of passages. Pete Garceau and Jeff Brown, master illusionists who brought spectacular images of the Hydra to life from wisps of pure imagination. Tim Roven, Bard of Wonderment, who composed auditory marvels to accompany this work. Eric Barker, Tim Grawl, and Daniel Rubin. Steadfast rangers who braved early attempts to traverse these unknown wilds, never failing to return with valuable guidance. James Clear, Nir Eyal, Ryan Holiday, Steve Cam, Mark Manson, and Shane Parrish. Indomitable warriors whose battle cries inspired courage and fortitude in times of doubt and despair. Kelsey Kaufman, Cleric of the Light, whose love and unwavering support makes all things possible. Leela Kaufman and Nathan Kaufman, wild and curious spirits whose desire for exploration and growth inspires me to adventure. About the author. Josh Kaufman, that's me, is the best-selling author of two previous books, The Personal MBA, Master the Art of Business, and The First 20 Hours, How to Learn Anything Fast. His books have sold over 500,000 copies worldwide and have been translated into 22 languages. This is his first foray into allegorical fiction. To receive updates and information about Josh Kaufman's latest research and writing, including upcoming books and courses, please visit joshkaufman.net. This has been How to Fight a Hydra. Face your fears, pursue your ambitions, and become the hero you are destined to be, by Josh Kaufman. Text and production copyright 2018, Worldly Wisdom Ventures, LLC. Sound design used under license by Tim Roven of tabletopaudio.com. For more information about this book, please visit howtofightahydra.com. This is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to actual events, locations, persons living or dead, or ravenous multi-headed serpentine monstrosities is coincidental. Thanks for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.